Hey everybody, welcome to the Promised Land. Great to see you. Are y'all ready for summer? Summer is here. Unless you go to Hayes School District, then you have three more days. Three more half days or something like that. So San Marcos is out, Texas State's out, Wimberley's out, Lockhart's out. Hayes, let's go Hayes, come on. Wrap it up. Erica and I hit the river for the first time this summer on Memorial Day. We went out and flowed the river. Check this out. We got a picture of us hitting the float. Anybody here like to float the river? Yeah. Oh, man. If you don't go out and enjoy the rivers in San Marcos area, oh, my goodness, you're missing out. Even if you just go dip your toes in it for a little bit. Man, it is. We are blessed with some gorgeous water here in this area. So go out and try it out. It's clean, clear, cool, refreshing. Well, we finished a 3.5 hour float, and then we went up a little hike up in this ravine, and we saw this amazing tree. We said, let's shoot a video right now. Let's do it. So check out this video of this tree we saw. We're sitting out here in a ravine right just outside of Hilliard Road, right up from our church in San Marcos. And I want you to check out this tree. Completely amazing. It is growing sideways out of this mountain. Well, I say mountain, it's a hill, but the storms of life have knocked the tree over, but check out the roots. It is rooted enough that it continues to grow and thrive, even though it's completely out of its design, going sideways. But it all has to do with the roots. Let's see if we can go over here. Come closer, people. Come closer. Come, my friends. Isn't that crazy? I love seeing all the wildlife that's living on the tree as well, all the algae and everything. I don't know what's more amazing about that video, that tree or my hat. What do you think? That hat. People covet that hat and are jealous. And I got that on a cruise in Mexico. I was in Mexico. So if you want that hat, you got to go to Mexico. We are starting a new series today, appropriately called Rooted. And it was so cool to be walking through that little ravine, and we saw that tree, like, wow. And then Erica said something about the storms of life. I said, stop, we got a video of this right now, because this is what we're talking about for a month. All of June, we're going to talk about being rooted with spiritual discipline for spiritual growth. And roots are interesting. They serve two core purposes for any plant. Whether it's a sequoia, an oak, or a tiny baby little fern or something like that. In fact, a week ago, Erica and I planted grass at our house, and we had the sod, which is, you know, the squares, and we laid those down at the house. And then just a couple days ago, I peeled back one of those squares to see what was going on, and you could see tiny little white roots seeking out, growing into the soil at our house. It was so neat that those roots are beginning to plunge down into the natural soil and do two things. Provide stability and structure for that plant. So it's an anchor. Roots are anchors. But they also absorb the nutrients and the water from the soil around it. And just such an important part of life. And when you go throughout the Bible, you hear the Bible using agricultural terms to talk about our life in general and our spiritual life, our faith life. And you hear Jesus himself using words like plants, seeds, soil, pruning, fruit, growing, dying, all throughout his parables. Why? Because our faith is a living, vulnerable life form. I want you to think about that for a second. The faith that you have is vulnerable, and it's living. And I think sometimes we just put our faith in some other category, or put it on cruise control, or think that it's just going to happen. But in reality, Jesus tells us, and throughout the Bible it tells us, that your faith is like a living organism. It's like a plant, and it really, really, really needs to be rooted into healthy soil, good soil. And there's a scripture in the book of Psalms, chapter 52, verse 7 and 8, that I think this is the voice of King David, just a great passage. He says, "Look what happens to mighty warriors who do not trust in God. They trust in their wealth instead and grow," somebody say grow, "more and more bold in their wickedness." So he's saying, you're going to grow one way or the other. You're going to grow in wickedness if you don't trust in God. So you're going to be like a plant one way or the other. But look what he says in verse 8. "But I am like an olive tree thriving in the house of God. I will always trust in God's unfailing love." This is a proclamation I believe all of us as believers, and even if you're a brand new baby little plant, your faith in God is just a little sprig sticking out of the soil, or maybe you're a transplant from another church or city or wherever, whether you're this little bitty sprig or you're a full-grown tree, I believe this verse 8 is something we can all pray. "I am like an olive tree." Now, olive tree, let's think about that for a second. It's beautiful. It provides shade. If you go out of this building and to your right, heading toward the student center, there's a tree right in the corner of the building that's fairly young looking. And it's right in the corner. That's an olive tree. We planted it, Mark John planted it a few years ago, and he showed me the other day. We were having our first olives come out on that tree this year. It's really cool. And so let's pray the deer don't get them and the birds don't get them and all that. Anyway, olive trees are amazing. And I don't know if they're the oldest tree on the planet, but they last for centuries and centuries, millennia actually. You can go to Israel right now and go to the Garden of Eden on the hillside of Jerusalem, and you can see olive trees that were there when Jesus was there. They're 3,000 years old, and they're not that tall. Olive trees don't get real big, but the trunks are enormously wide, and it's just an incredible thing, the olive tree. That's what David said, "I'm an olive tree. I'm going to be around for thousands of years because I am thriving in the house of God." So olive trees produce fruit, you could say, oil. We use the oils for cooking and for our skin and for all kinds of things. They provide shade. They provide beauty. They just exist, and they're beautiful. They're living organisms. And so this olive tree is what he compares himself to, his faith. And the second part is equally as important. He says he's thriving in the house of God. Now, you don't have to know a whole lot about plants to know that you got to have soil in order for the plant to live, right? There's a few plants that live in the water, but they have to have that environment, okay? They got to have some sort of environment for them to get the nutrients and all that. So this is what he's saying. Be planted in the family of God. I am a thriving oak or olive tree, and I am thriving in the family of God. Such an important thing. And I say this for this reason. Some people have it in their mentality that they're just going to church. Well, I'm going to go to church today. Or I'm going to go to church next week. If just going to a facility and being around some people and hearing a message is all you think this is about, then I am excited to tell you there's a lot more to it. The Bible tells us to be planted in the house of God, to grow roots in the family of God, to be established and planted and rooted in a family, a church family. This is not about a building. This is not about a property. In fact, we had people joining us via video from Lockhart today at our earlier service. They gathered in a junior high building today. 127 people gathered in a public school in Lockhart, and they worship God. Well, they will be the first to tell you that the church is not the junior high. The church are the people that are in the junior high. And so there's a lot more to it than simply going to a place or going to a service or viewing something. In fact, a family came to me earlier and said, not today, but earlier this month, or last month, I guess, since this is the second, a few days ago, we're going to start going to a different church. And my response to them was not, don't go or anything like that. My response was, if you're going to go, don't just go. Go all in. Give it everything you got. Go there, give it everything you got. Because if you just start going to another church, you're missing out. And so I want to open up your thought process to a whole new idea of being a part of good soil, being a part of a family, being a part, being rooted. Because here's the deal, just like that tree on that video fell over, the winds of life are going to knock you down. They're going to blow in your life, whether it's a diagnosis or a divorce or bankruptcy or failing a test or having to be held back a grade or changing a job, getting fired. Whatever it is, the winds of life are going to just pound on your life. And if you are rooted in the family of God, in the house of God, you will be able to sustain life and continue to grow and be an active part of God's creation. Your faith will make it if you have roots and good soil. And so you're going to face many challenges along the way, and being uprooted is very easy if you've just got some shallow little things. So how do we get rooted further down? That's what we're going to be talking about this month. I hope you come and make this a commitment on Sundays, because we want to help you get some root stimulator. You ever heard of root stimulator? We want to get those roots healthy and strong. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians, 12th chapter, where Paul's talking about the body of Christ, this whole concept of the soil and the body. And he says, everybody here has a unique part. Everybody here is meaningful, no matter who you are, where you came from, anything like that. Everybody here has an important part to play. And look what verse 18 says. But now God, not you or me, but God, has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. So God puts us places. And here's the word I really hope you can grab a hold of. Whether you're a big, huge sequoia in faith and you're a rah, or you're just a tiny little baby in faith, trust the one who put you here. Trust the process. And so God has ultimate wisdom. He puts you in a place, and we just need to establish roots. So could you imagine what it would be like if you transplanted a peach tree every year? It wouldn't be a good idea. You can transplant it once or twice, take it out of the pot, put it in the ground. But if you keep moving a plant over and over and over and digging it up, replanting it, digging it up, replanting it, it's going to suffer quite a bit. And I think people, and it's not just in churches, need to build some roots, but get some roots into your town, into your neighborhood, into your family, and just let God work there. So at Promised Land, this is healthy soil. That's another great lesson for the day. This is healthy soil right where you're at. And here you're going to hear encouragement. You're going to hear teaching. You're going to hear correction from time to time. And so Each one of these are root stimulators. We're going to be talking about that throughout the month. But you're going to hear things that challenge you that you don't want to hear. You're going to hear things that you do want to hear that are encouraging. You're going to hear new things that you've never heard before. All of these are so important, and we get them by being consistent and establishing roots in a church family and in a church house, in the house of God. So I put together a couple little classifications, you might call it, or definitions of people that don't have roots. And this is hypothetical. This is for, you know, people you may know, other people. I'm sure nobody in here are like these people. But in case, the first one, the first type of person that could be connected to a church but not establishing roots would be the random or coincidence attender. Your connection to church is listening to a message, it's coming to a building, and it's random or it's coincidence. It's when nothing else is going on, or it's when nothing else is planned, or it's a special weekend. And so there's really no other connection other than listening to me talk to you. And that's all there is to it. So that's a random coincidence thing. And another type of no root type of Christian is kind of a new category, and it has to do with the internet. And the internet has been a detriment in some ways because it has allowed people to get messages online without being a part of a local church. And so people can kind of pick and choose what they want to listen to. Now, everybody watching today online, listening to this podcast right now, it's not that there's bad things online. You can get some phenomenal truths online. But if you're not connected to a local body where there's accountability and people around you that know who you are and you can bounce these ideas off of, then the temptation is to simply pick and choose messages that you want to hear. And so you will subconsciously pick ones that you feel like you need to hear. And the other side of that would be being planted in a garden, in a vineyard, in good soil, in the family of God, and you're going to hear the message that you want to hear, and you're going to hear the message you don't want to hear. And it's got to be that way. It's like when you're a kid and your mom says, you got to eat the vegetables too. Not just the pizza. Not just the chicken tenders. No. You got to eat the green beans. You got to eat the peas, right? Ugh. Sweet potatoes. Whatever it is, you got to eat a full balanced meal, because what happens is your theology, your study of God, your idea of who God is can get very, very warped if you're just drifting from one thing to the next. The Bible actually calls those kind of folks people with itching ears. They're going around seeing who will scratch what they want to hear, right? So with the internet, it makes it much more easy to do that and kind of drift from side to side. And I had somebody recently tell me that they were studying something on Google about their theology, and I said, be careful. You know, if you're not rooted in a community that's studying the Bible together, and you're just going out there and you're pulling things off of Google, let me tell you, you can get some awesome things from the internet that are biblically sound, but you can get everything else too. And it can look all the same. It can look all valid. And so I have a friend that's a doctor, and he told me one of the things that he struggles with the most is when a patient will come into his appointment and start telling him something they just read on Google that goes against what he's telling them. And he'll say, I went to medical school for 12 years, and I've done thousands and thousands of treatments myself, and you're going to come in here with 5 minutes of Google research and tell me what to do? Come on. It's the same kind of thing. You need to be with the Word of God. It's an ancient document, but it's a live, living document. That's the bread of life. And you've got to have people in your life, pastors that are there through the thick and thin, mentors, small group leaders, elders, that you can, if you do hear one of these things, you can run them by them. Talk about it. Ask questions. And so find a church that is biblically sound
Promised land.
And grow some roots. Right? Wherever that is, if it's promised land, if it's somewhere else, find some good soil and grow some roots there. As I said earlier, if you're brand new to this or your baby, some of the best things you can do is just be still. I said earlier that I kind of pulled that grass up. That was a bad thing to do. Shouldn't have done that. That part might die because I irritated it, right? You're supposed to just water it, let the sun do its thing, let the oxygen do its thing, let the water do its thing, and just let God do his thing. And sometimes we get so antsy and we're hopping around and doing things that we just need to be still where God has planted us. And let's listen to what God has to say. Just rest in the soil. Rest and receive the word. Receive the sunlight. Receive, be present. That's such a good term that so many of us are not. We're not present. We're on our phone all the time. We're on the TV all the time. Instead of just being in the moment, right here, right where we are. Just be in the moment. Trust the process that God has put you here, that God has put all of us here. Trust that. If it doesn't feel right, if it feels weird or whatever, just trust the process. Trust the gardener. Trust the system that God has put in place because you're in good soil. Let me tell you a couple things that are happening this summer at Promised Land that are ways for you to grow some roots. And we have seasons, you know, just like any agricultural thing. The church has seasons as well. So we just finished a season called small group season. And that's where a lot of people are in small groups learning the Bible and all that kind of stuff. In the summer, we take a two-month break from small groups. But we don't just take a break from everything. Obviously, we still have Sunday morning. So Sunday morning is a great time for you to get connected to the body. Here, 8:30, 10 o'clock, 11:30 in Lockhart, there's a 10:30 service every Sunday. Put it on the calendar. Make sure you're intentional about it. I'm going to get there early. I'm going to sit up close. I'm going to be engaged with the worship. I'm going to meet somebody new today. I'm not just going to jet out the door. Woo! That's good stuff right there. I didn't tell the other two services that, so y'all might have a jetting spirit in here. I'm not sure. Let's deal with that. Another time we gather is first Wednesday. So this coming Wednesday, June, Emilio talked to you about it. This is going to be a special one. We're ordaining a couple pastors. That's going to be great. We take communion together. We always have a dinner option here for you for just a few bucks. You can get a dinner here at the food truck. And so we have worship together. We take communion together. It's a great time to meet people. It's relaxed. It's a smaller setting. And so you'll get to connect with people that go to the other services. You'll get to connect with our Lockhart campus folks. Some of them will be over here. So that's the first Wednesday in June. And then the first Wednesday in July, we're going to have a big, big revival night service. We're inviting Wayne Francis to come back to be with us. He was at our revival last year. And so that's going to be July the 3rd, the day before the 4th. So you don't even have to go to work the next day. You stay up late at Promised Land. We're going to have Francis, food trucks, and fireworks that night. It's going to be a great time. If you weren't here for our revival last year, you missed it, man. But he's coming back. He's an incredible speaker. You're going to love him. July, first Wednesday night in July. Okay, let me tell you, parents with kids, we're going to have Friday night vacation Bible school series. And so it's going to be Friday nights in July and the first one in August. And there's going to be a big family night in August and on Friday nights. So starting, I think it's July 12th, those Friday nights, get your kids here. This is important. If you have kids 3 years of age up to fifth grade, get them rooted in the house of God also. You want them to be establishing roots at this age. The Bible says this, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. That's roots. That's roots. And so make it a big deal for your parents. And then summer camp, our students are going to summer camp next week. We're excited about that. But they every Wednesday night here at Promised Land, we have stuff going on for junior high and high school kids. So get them up here. And then we have a health class coming up. We're starting it this month in June. It's going to be the final Wednesday night of each month. One of our nurse practitioners is going to be leading a class up here, teaching about a wide variety of things. And so that's a great time. All these have value in and of themselves, but they all have a common thread, and that's a great chance for you to meet people. Because meeting other people is the number one way you're going to grow roots. It is. That's the soil. The people are the soil. And so we at Promised Land try to figure out multiple different ways to simply get people together. That's it. That's the secret. How can we get people together? Let's figure that out. And then in September, we're going to relaunch small groups. So we're going to have tons of groups for you to get involved with for that season. I want to close by reading you a passage, and then we're going to dismiss. But I want to read to you Hebrews 12. And this, honestly, over the next month is the core text that we're going to be studying in the month of June. So if you write these verses down, Hebrews 12, 1 through 13, those 13 verses are the verses we're going to be studying in June, because they are the root. They're the root stimulators that's going to really activate growth in your life. Look what it says, Hebrews 12 and 1. Therefore, now whenever there's a therefore in the Bible, you got to go before it to see what therefore is there for. So why is the therefore therefore? If you go to the chapter before it, it's talking about the heroes of faith. All the heroes in the Bible with their faith. And even some unnamed ones that didn't receive the full power of their faith. But this is what it says. Okay, therefore, we heard all these stories of faith. Since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, now let's respond. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Verse 2, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. The Old King James Version says he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus is the beginning and the end. If you want some deep roots in your life, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Now let's skip to verse 5. It says, and have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when he corrects you. Let's stop there for a second. When you hear the word discipline, does the word encouragement come to mind? Probably not. Right? You think discipline, you think, ow, that's painful. But this truth in verse 5 is so important. Your discipline from God is a sign of your identity. It's not just because God wants to be mean and punish you. He punishes and disciplines and corrects because you're his kid and he loves you dearly. And so when you hear, this is a message we keep hearing over and over again. 2 weeks ago, I preached to you about Josiah, and he read the word of God, and he was convicted in his heart, and he was challenged, and it was a discipline word. And he responded with humility. And because he responded with humility and submission, his whole generation was saved. And here we see it again. You're going to get convicting words from God. You're going to get correcting words from church, from reading the Bible, from prayer. You're going to hear things that you don't like or don't want to hear. If you will respond to that with submission and understand it's only coming because you're his kid. A few years ago, we had a youth pastor here named Dan Armstrong. And most of y'all weren't here back then. It was in 2007, 2008. And he and his wife fostered to adopt several kids. And there was this one young man named Josh who he was still in the foster classification, but they were going to adopt him. And he was excited. They were all excited about it. And one day he told his dad, Dan, he said, I can't wait until you spank me. Isn't that weird? And his dad was like, what are you talking about? And this is what he said. Because when you spank me, that means I'm your kid. And he knew from that age that that's what a dad does. He disciplines his son. And you could tell that Dan did that in front of him with his other kids in a respectful way, in a healthy way, in a loving way, or he wouldn't want to participate in that. But that classification of son meant that you get all that with him. So it was a sign, I'm in. And so if you get a feeling, an inclination, that there's something in your life that needs to change or needs to shift, thank God for that. You never want to get to a point where you're just numb to that conviction and you ignore it. But if you respond quickly of, Lord, I hear what you have to say. Verse 6 says, for the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. So we're going to really be going through these verses and unpacking them over the next few weeks on how this really does grow roots. But I want to finish with this one passage in verse 12. And I want this just to be our leaving this building passage, okay? Like this is going to be the passage that we chew on the rest of the week. So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. There's so much depth in that and texture to that text. It's amazing. Would you just take that with you? Hebrews 12, 12 and 13. Chew on it. Read it this week. Memorize it. Think through it. Pray it. Lord, I'm tired. My knees are weak. I'm looking to you. Help me mark out a straight path. Lord, help my feet know where to go. Lord, point me to those who are weak and lame. I want to be a part of this, God. I want to be an olive tree that's thriving in the house of the Lord. Let's just close with that thought and that idea. I want to be an olive tree thriving in the house of the Lord. Would you bow your heads with me right now and let's just go to God? Some of you may feel like that olive tree right now. By the grace of God, you're strong and you are a part of good soil, healthy soil. Others of you are so tender and new that you don't feel that way. You don't feel like an olive tree. Well, let's pray it. Let's all pray it anyway. If you do feel that way, say, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that I'm an olive tree. I thank you that I'm thriving. If you're not in that place, say, Lord, I will be an olive tree. I will be thriving. I'm speaking prophetically. God, I'm praying these things, the Bible, as the Bible says, that are not as though they are. I'm speaking life into my health of my tree. I'm speaking life into my root system in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for this day. There are so many distractions, so many different reasons why we shouldn't have gathered here today. There's so many other things we could have been doing today, but instead we put you first and we've gathered in this house. What we're saying and proclaiming today is that we want to be an olive tree that is strong, purpose-filled, filled with life and filled with meaning. That's going to look different for every person in the place. But we're also saying that we want to thrive in the house of the Lord. We want to thrive in the family of God. In the name of Jesus. If you're here this morning and you are not in the family, you're disconnected, whether you've never been in the family or you've been away for a long time, and you would like to be in, let's just pray a prayer right now of submission and humility. Let's pray a prayer of salvation right now. The good news of Jesus Christ is that He's come to welcome you into His family today, right now, to be His child, no matter where you came from this week, because He loves you and He forgives you and He welcomes you home right now. Let's just pray this. You can pray it after me, same words, or you can use your own words, but let's say, Heavenly Father, we surrender our heart to You. I give You my life today. Please forgive me of my sins. Please heal me of my past. Please encourage me for my future. Lord, I trust in You. I believe, Jesus Christ, that You are my Savior. Put my hope in You. Please help me with my future. Please fill me with Your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.